Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony. Today's show is a wee bit different in that it's been recorded in parts over 3 days. Every member of the team, barring Matt, is part of the show today. Matt's away in Australia for a couple of weeks, so we couldn't get him. But we have Brooke, we have myself, we have Chris, and we have Joni Stahl. And the subject is prayer and being prepared for what's ahead and hearing from God in the difficult times. So enjoy it. Especially towards the end, you'll hear some amazing testimonies from Joni of answered prayer. Also, you'll hear how Brooke's prayer from Louisiana transcended the distance and impacted my life right here in New Zealand. A Minute to Midnight's a team of five, and it's growing to be a team of five, and one of the members of the team who's been such an encouragement all the way through, right since episode one, is Brooke, and I'm chatting to Brooke now. How are you there, Brooke?
Hi, I'm doing good. Just working on a few articles to get into the Minute to Midnight website.
Yeah, it's great that you're doing that because I really like what you write, so it's awesome. Awesome to have you on the team and doing these things. But Brooke, I want to tell people about something that happened a few weeks ago to show people that God actually answers prayer, because we're going to need that in the days ahead, I think, with what's coming. We're going to need to be able to hear from God and then act. And so this was quite a startling thing that happened for me. And you know what I'm talking about, the text you sent me a few weeks ago?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, what actually happened was I was going to go out, and I sent Brooke a very quick message that I was going out and I'd answer something she'd written later. So I headed out in the car and I was off to visit Chris, actually. And I got about 25 minutes or so into the trip, wasn't that far from where I was going. And I heard my phone go off with a text, but I didn't answer the phone because I was driving, so I was being good and not answering the text while driving. And anyway, I didn't know what was in the text, but about 2 minutes after that, I got to an intersection and I almost, it would have been my fault, pulled out in front of a car that I did not see. The car was going over the speed limit, but I still would have been in the wrong for having pulled out. So I didn't. At the last second, I saw the car and stopped, and I thought to myself, oh, wow, that was amazing. God just saved me from being taken out by the enemy, because that would have been a serious accident. Anyway, when I got to Chris's place, remember this was 2 minutes before I almost had this, what could have been a serious accident, I got that text, and the text was from Brooke. Do you remember what was in that text, Brooke?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us?
Okay. Well, I'll have to kind of paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I actually do. I can read it. I can tell you exactly what it said.
Yeah, do that.
It said, "Drive carefully. God's angels of protection shoulder to shoulder around you, that no evil befall you. Amen." And I thought, wow. I got that text as soon as I got to Chris's house, remembering it was hit my phone about 2 minutes before I almost had a serious accident. Now, you don't normally send me texts like that, do you, Brooke?
No. In fact, in the 3 years we've talked, I've actually never sent you a text like that.
So why did you that day?
Obviously, it was the Holy Spirit, of course. I actually wasn't doing anything. Just a few things around the house. I think maybe cleaning up. And like you said, you did message that you were heading to Chris's house, and I never thought anything about it. Hung up. We said we'll talk later, like we usually do. And in the middle of me cleaning, I believe, I felt an urge. I came, I right away put everything down. I grabbed my cell phone, and I sent that prayer real quick, though I find it's a really powerful prayer. I pray it for my family, friends, my children, every day. So I sent it to you and thinking, well, he'll be traveling, but he's probably there by now, but you know, this will work for the rest of the day. And I hung it up and I didn't think anything of it until later on you let me know what occurred.
Yeah, well, I was completely blown away, and I told Chris at the time when I got to his place. I said, I read him the text and said, this is what happened. I thought to myself, wow, the enemy's trying to take me out, but God protected me. And then when I saw the text that you'd written, I was completely blown away. Couldn't get it out of my mind for days.
Yeah,
So
I thought it was amazing when you shared it. I'm so glad I just grabbed the phone and sent it and I didn't think twice, I didn't question it, but it was so out of the blue and so random. And I find what's really incredible about it is when you told me that you did not read it while you were in that car. You read this after everything had happened, after you had pulled up to Chris's house. And it was only a couple of minutes before the accident. So it shows us how, God's never too early, but he's never too late. And everything's done in his time. He knew ahead of time what was coming possibly for you. There's so much work being done that you do, of course, with A Minute to Midnight.
and
No one
you,
else could
and
actually
you.
replace what you do. And the enemy, I think, would like nothing more than to, take all of us out, actually, if he could. So, but God has it under control, and he knew what you needed.
Yeah, well, actually, talking about taking us out, because after episode 12 of A Minute to Midnight, I was ready to quit. And I said, oh, this is just, the number of people, it's hardly
Yes.
worth the effort. And you gave me a right telling off,
Well,
didn't
yes. Well, you were quite discouraged and quite complaining
Yeah.
that day. And well, since we're so close, instead of being nice about it, I was a little firm about
You
it.
were, yep.
And I just knew that I really felt that it needed to be said that way. I feel
Yeah,
like I was
basically.
right from your response. I was
Yeah,
obviously right.
I
Well,
was ready to
God
quit.
did
Yep.
that. And
Yep.
it's just amazing to look back. I was actually looking back at the YouTube channel to look at where it's come from to where it is today. And it's just been such a transformation. I mean, it's grown so much and it's changed so much in the content and the interviews and the people, and now there's a team and rather quick, I find, which for you is a lot of hard work, but we
Yeah, but
try to
then
help,
you're also putting a fair bit of work in too.
But there's so much benefit I find to it. And being that you actually obeyed and kept doing it, even though you felt like, okay, I am just probably going to give this up. Look what happened when you decided to not quit,
Yeah, well, I mean, basically, yeah, well, I don't remember the exact words, but mainly the gist of what you were saying is, so what if not many people are listening to it? If they're the
Right.
people that God wants and you're touching and helping those people, it doesn't matter if it's one
Right.
person or 1,000 people or whatever,
Right.
you're doing it for God and, the right people are hearing the show. And I really
Right.
thought, I felt really told off and thought, yeah, you're absolutely right. But the real interesting thing is, the next episode, episode 13, it really took off after that, which it never would have happened. And that was an interview with Carolyn Hamlett that we did in episode 13. So it's certainly, I'm glad we didn't quit, and I thank you heaps for stopping me from quitting.
Well, I'm glad you didn't quit either, because I mean, ever since you didn't quit, I wasn't really involved in it before. I offered you and Chris any help that you may need, and then now it's Matt came in, and then Carolyn came in, and we're good friends. And
And
now
Joni,
Jonas
yeah.
is amazing, phenomenal. It's just all coming together. I look forward to Chris once things in his life have settled down. You know, he's very busy with his wife and they're doing family things, which is understandable. And
He'll be back.
To see what God's going to do with it, you know, in the future. It's exciting.
It is. Yeah, it is.
And we do have the new
The new Facebook page. Yes, you built us a new Facebook group, which we'd like people to join and contribute.
Yes, it's growing actually quite fast. It's just been up a couple of days, and we have, close to 50 people on there already.
Yeah, and it'll grow. It'll grow more. But, that's, again, thanks to you for putting that together.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. So thanks again there, Brooke, and we will no doubt chat to you again on here soon. But it's been awesome to just get you on here so people that hear what you're doing and the role that you're playing.
Well, definitely it's been good talking to you too.
Okay, so you heard from Brooke that Chris has been busy. Well, today I've actually come out to Chris instead of him being able to come into the studio. And you've heard how Brooke had sent me that text and about how blown away I was at the time. And do you remember that day, Chris?
I certainly do.
Yeah, it was pretty eventful for me. So anyway, you were living at your old place at that point, but since then you have moved out of town into the country and you've taken the warning seriously and got a great spot in the country with a good bit of land and great fresh water stream. Plenty of challenges, but a great move, I reckon.
As you say, challenges ahead, but a great move. We're excited about the future here on this, just a little block, but it's a block of land which has got plenty of resource, as in water. And so, great climate here. And so we're looking forward to growing some food and having a totally different lifestyle.
And I'm sure there'll be lots of people that'll be envying that. But it's a lovely spot, and as you say, it's a good climate and good land, and man, your water is so clean.
Yeah, it is. We've got a couple of springs and plus a wee stream running through the middle of it, so a blessing.
And with so much going on at the moment, I think it's a good time to be moving. There's a lot going on in the world, and we've been warning people for quite some time to be prepared. What are some of the things that you've been noticing that's going on?
Well, I haven't been really focusing a lot on what is going on because we are limited where we are at the moment and this transition that we're currently in. We're a little bit limited as to communications, etc. But what I have been seeing... Yes, it just reminds me of Matthew 24. Mm. And, there'll be wars and rumours of wars, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be famines. And in particular, the earthquakes have been, they've been more than normal.
And the volcanoes, 40 of them, I believe, erupting at the moment around the world.
Yes, and they're particularly saying the Pacific Rim. Fortunately, we are here on the Pacific Rim, and New Zealand is not called the Shaky Isles for nothing. But we've sort of been set apart from the rest of the Pacific Rim and this sort of swarm of activity. And in particular, the volcanic side of things, White Island and the Bay of Plenty normally is quite active. It's stayed at its status of one for quite a while now, and Ruapehu, which is probably our next most active volcano, is at status one as well, which is, that's just normal for New Zealand. So,
well, let's hope it stays that way. But I think one thing that we're not going to escape from is the global financial crash that's coming. A lot has been happening on that field at the moment.
Yeah, and I suppose if you can compare the earthquakes and the volcanic activity, you can compare that to the financial state, if you like, of the world economy, and it is bubbling away. There is some shakiness to it at the moment, and it's interesting how, yes, we're having these earthquakes and these things are going on in the natural, but in the financial realm, they're going on as well. You can't see it. It's almost like the spiritual realm, but in the financial realm, you can't see what's going on. But under the surface, yeah, there's certainly obviously stuff going on. There's a lot of talk out in the media about crises looming. And like the earthquakes, you're hearing more and more of those stories.
Yes, yes, you are. On things like the banking system, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about banks getting close to failing. And, of course, we had that the first of the bail-in enactments in Europe and Austria about a week or so ago. So I think it's watch this space. I don't think we're far away from some major collapses. And apparently the whole Italian banking system is pretty close to the same sort of thing happening at the moment.
So there's a few shareholders that have lost their wealth overnight?
Yes, yes, a lot of them. A lot of the shareholders did. And I think it's only the first. It's been interesting watching gold and silver sort of holding their own at the moment. Haven't moved up a heck of a lot yet, but they haven't seemed to be able to knock it down with the same vehemence that they have in the past at the moment. So we may now be seeing the up and up, I think.
Yeah, well, the silver and gold, I've seen that. There's been some good activity in particular the silver sector. Gold has sort of stayed where it was, but silver seems to have taken a lead of its own. The gold silver ratio has come down slightly, and silver is trading differently to gold at present in the last week or two.
Yeah.
Which is good to see. I mean, that's good for the miners as well. It's good for those that are holding silver, silver in the physical and silver in the mining shares, but not so good for those. I mean, it is good for those that have got the paper holding, but there'll come a time where that paper holding will be worthless, as is the fiat currencies that run the world, really.
Yeah, well, I noticed Rob Kirby was saying it could only be weeks away from the collapsing of the US dollar. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. But the thing is to be prepared, isn't it, for whenever it happens.
Yeah, it's what we say all the time on the show, is that, you know, part of the preparation, apart from our, you know, firstly, once again, you know, we've got to have our relationship with God in hand, and you know, without that, how do we expect to get on in life, not to mention afterlife? But that's the first and foremost thing that we should have in place, and the second is to have plenty of food and water, etc. And the third one is yes, we need to have some form of backstop when it comes to a crisis, a financial crisis. We need to have our money safe and secure, or as safe as and secure as we can make it. And as per any previous depressions / financial disasters in history, you know, it's always come back. The safest haven is gold and silver. And so, you know, if you haven't already done so, I urge you to get it while it's as cheap as it is. In particular, silver. Silver's going to go to the moon at some stage. And if you've got the resource to buy some, I suggest you do. Even if you haven't got, if you've got a little bit of savings, I urge you to get a little bit of silver. It's not a big outlay, but it could mean, you know, survival for a period of time where otherwise you'd have to resort to possibly violence, or violence possibly towards you. So,
and of course, yeah, a lot of people like me, for instance, I mean, gold's well out of reach. It's just people say gold's cheap. I mean, gold may be cheap compared with what it should be, but for someone like me, it's still well out of reach. But for most people, silver is still, at this point of time, within reach. And like you say, I agree, you know, if you can, even just get a little bit. It's a good thing to have. It's going to be a good thing to have. Obviously, your food and water is the most important thing. But aside from that, definitely, I think silver is the place to put your money.
Buy some while you can, while it's plentiful. because I can guarantee you it's not. But you can still buy it, and yeah, get it while you can. Silver is a good, solid investment, and it's I believe it's already bottomed. I believe you've seen the worst in the markets for silver during this cycle, and now's the time to look seriously. And, well, don't look, just leap mm-hmm. into it, because things aren't looking good on the financial side of things. You don't have to go far and see it. Even the mainstream is saying it now, you know. But yeah, just be so watchful. But you know, you can be cautious when it comes to precious metals. But now's the time not to be cautious. Now's the time to actually get in, because it'll be too late.
And other than that, we want to be in a position where we're hearing from God, so our spiritual life's got to be in order, doesn't it? Because we're going to, I think, with all the things that are happening, we need to be able to hear from God when he says go this way or go that way. We need to have our spiritual ears open.
Yeah, we do, and we need discernment in these times. We need wisdom. You know, we need the spirit of wisdom on our lives. We need the spirit of understanding, or that spirit of discernment. And these are the times we need that. We need to be using our own initiatives, not the initiatives of others. Don't listen to what's going on around you. Listen to the Spirit of God. Get in tune with Him. You get in tune with Him. This is about a personal relationship with God, not one that is manipulated or coerced by someone else.
Hmm.
This is about your relationship with Him, and you'll only hear from Him when you use listening ears, not itching ears, listening ears. There's a difference. And you know, it says in the Word that you know, in the end times there'll be listeners of the Word, what their itching ears want to hear. Okay, people don't want to hear this news because it's not according to their itching ears. They want to hear fluffy stuff. They want to hear everything's okay when it's not really okay. So yeah,
cool. Thanks, Chris. And I know you're busy generally still, but I'm sure, you know, people will hear from you a lot more again when things settle a little bit more. But it's been good to just get you in again today anyway.
Yeah, it's good to be back on board, if you like. Yeah, good talk to you, Tony, and good to be with the audience here. And I hope you enjoy listening to these broadcasts, because we enjoy doing them, and it's not about us. It's about life. It's about our journey through life, and of all, the most of all, it's about God and His Son Jesus, and we need that relationship with Him. Because without Him, we'd be nothing. And you need Him. You need Him through these times that we're living in. Mm. We're in them, folks.
Yeah.
It's not when or if, it's now. And if you haven't already got a relationship with God, I suggest you get one. The Word says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but receive eternal life. That's all you need to do, folks. Just ask Him in, and then turn to Him. Turn away from all your sin, and just look to Him, and you'll find an inner strength that you otherwise didn't have. And yeah, so on that note.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's been great to have you and chatting to you again, and I'm sure we'll hear a lot more of you again when things have settled down. So we've heard from Chris and we've heard from Brooke. We can't chat with Matt today because he's away overseas, but we've got Joni online. So welcome, Joni. It's great to talk to you this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. I always enjoy it.
And yeah, we're going to be talking about prayer. I know you've got some awesome examples of how God has answered prayer in impossible situations. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, you know, I love sharing those things because, you know, it says in the Word, it says that we are to declare the works of every day. It says daily proclaim the works of the Lord. And, you know, that were to declare the memory of his great goodness. So I like to always recall those amazing events.
Okay, so we'll get right into it. Joni, you can give us a little bit of background of some of these prayer situations and what you believe God wants to share today.
You know, I believe prayer is the first thing that we could think about that is the most important aspect of our walk in Christ. You know, we think about like Genesis, you know, it says that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day, his voice. And God wants us to know his voice. Look at, he gave you a voice and he gave me a voice. And everything he gives returns back to him. He gave us a voice so we could talk to him first, so we could tell him how we feel and have a real relationship with God. That is why he gave us the breath of life. Everything is going to return to him. He loves it when we talk to him about everything. Remember, he says, Paul says, pray about everything.
Yep, and we are going to need to hear from God as well, having our ears open to get his guidance with the difficult days that we believe we're soon to be facing.
You know, it says in the word that, you know, that God gives us the tongue of the learned and he opens our ears. You know, it says in Psalm chapter 41, you know, David said, sacrifices and offerings that you did not desire, but my ears has thou opened. Thy law hast thou written in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. See, God means us to hear him. You know, and there's all this talk, you know, I'll tell you, growing up as a prayer intercessor, all the books on hearing from God, this is how you pray, this is how you do it, this is how you speak, all these formats, I threw all those books away. You know what he wants? He wants you just to start talking to him and not to hold back. He, you know, even David said, I poured out my complaint unto God and he heard me. God loves it when you get real. That's when your prayer really becomes prayer. And the more you start praying to God in that respect, the more you start to see things happen around you. And he does it on purpose so that you start to pray more to him. Have you ever seen new Christians when they pray answers? There's always answers. You've heard that, like if you ever want an answer to prayer, ask a new believer to pray for you.
Yeah.
You know, God does it on purpose because he's trying to level the playing field. But I will say this too about prayer and intercession. You know, there are, as it says, many kinds of prayers, right? It says that in Ephesians chapter 6, right? There's many kinds of prayers. But you know what? There's a kind of prayer that really gets at the heart of God. You know, when we come to the Lord and we're like, Lord, thank you for the day and watch over so-and-so. I'm not going to say I know what God thinks. But you know, when somebody comes to you, Tony, and they say, Tony, listen to me. I need your help. I know you're the one that has the ability to help. You've got to help me now.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to drop everything, right? Because it's real. It's on.
Yeah.
You're moved by the passion of this person. So you can have compassion upon what's happening with that person. You know, God loves it. You know, we could all read it and say that we can approach the throne boldly. This is the confidence that we now have, that we can approach the throne with boldness, our hearts sprinkled with faith. You know, you can read that every day. But I'll tell you where the boldness comes, where you're standing between the soldiers and the sea. You're facing maybe some illness that's not going to go well for you. I'll tell you, that's where it's going to, that's the prayer. And I tell you the truth, there's times I have seen people in my life, not just my own life, but I've seen people who were faced with nothing, facing the worst situations in their life. And all they did is look unto God. And I would just tell them, start to asking the Lord, just do it. And they just start, sometimes they just would sob before the Lord. You know, there's also something I want to say. Prayer isn't always about talking. It says that the sighing of the prisoner comes before him. When you sigh, that's like a heavier, deeper part of your spirit, man, that can't even talk. And also too, it says in Lamentations chapter 4, it says, for I called out of the low dungeon. Out of the low dungeon, I cried. Hold not thy voice at my breathing, neither at my cry. You know, there is a kind of grief and heaviness that you can't speak. You can't talk. And what about your tears? God says in the Word, it says, David said, you tell all of my wanderings. You write all my tears in your book. I was really thinking about it. I don't even think I was asking him. I was thinking, why does he number all my tears and gather them in his bottle? Why does he number them all down? And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, he writes them all down because in those tears are prayers. So he doesn't want to hear you repeat what somebody else is saying. He wants to hear it from you, no one else. And when you start to really get real with the Lord and you start to talk to him from your own heart, from your own mind, your own thoughts, and not worry how you sound, that's when your prayer life begins. You know, when everything's going good and right, I'm loving the Lord like anybody else. I mean, yeah. I'm really trusting the Lord. I'm enjoying his presence. But I'll tell you something. There comes a point where God wants to dig down a whole lot deeper in there.
Yeah.
And it's not just so that he answers your prayers and dusts your knees off and, you know, tells you, okay, now go on. There, you know, God does things because it has an eternal stream to it. There's an action that's supposed to come out of you. So when I started to go through all the terrible things I did, you know, okay, let me just pause. Before I even go there, let me just say this. At this point in my life, there's been many people who say to me, oh, Joan, I wish I knew how to pray like you. I wish I knew how to have intercession. And I think, well, you know, it comes to the only reason why I know the Lord the way I do isn't because I'm anything special. It's because I had to go through the fire and through the water. There was no other way I would ever, ever go to the Lord in the power of the Spirit than when I was losing my home, losing our home, everything. But, you know, I'll tell you this about intercession. This is what I learned about intercession coming from an intercessor. And I like to be careful when I say that because I don't like to be like, here I am, the big intercessor. But God did call me into that. And there is a little bit of a difference than prayer. Intercessors are given a burden. And it's more than just your heart being moved in the Lord, so to speak, in terms of like maybe you saw something that upset you, or maybe somebody's pain is coming into your mind and you want to go before the Lord for them. But I'm talking about something that turns you inside out and it grabs a hold of you, and it's something God does with you. Why he chooses to do that, I have different reasons why I believe he does, and I don't know all the answers. But intercession, he will give you one thing, and he will give you one thing at a time. And he'll make you stay on that thing until you've pushed it, until you keep pushing it and pushing it, and even to the point where you see absolutely nothing happen at all, and he starts taking you into different levels of that faith. Because, you know, faith is literally what connects us to God. It really does. It's easy to say I have faith, but it's harder to say you have faith the harder the things come. So he wants to get at that spirit within us. And he wants to push past all that soulishness.
Yes, and with what's happening in the world and the things are unfolding, it is going to affect people, and we are going to need to be able to pray and hear from God and get into that spirit realm.
Everything that we've been hearing about for years now, you know, it's really finally happening. And not just that, you know, we're looking at in America, there's 48 million people on food stamps. Not to mention everything else that we know about that's happening, you know, and people are desperate. They're going to get to a point where they're going to be able to, you know, there's not going to be any food. You know, a lot of people won't have the ability to prepare and stockpiling food. But let me tell you something, what I know about the Lord, you know, he refers to himself as the God of the poor and needy. You know, he says that there's a scripture I love. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. And there's going to come a time where the Lord is going to move in his people, and it is going to be through prayer. And let me tell you, prayer is the greatest thing anybody is ever going to do. You know, a lot of people, they go to church and they go, oh, I wish I could be a pastor, or I wish I could be a missionary. But you know, everybody's qualified for prayer. It's the first breath that you take of your born again experience, then it should be the very last thing that comes out of our mouth before we die. You know, and I was thinking, you know, all the years that I've, you know, studied and pounded the books and everything. And I think, you know, there comes a point where we're going to get older. We're not going to have the minds that we used to. We're not going to remember everything. But I'll tell you, the main thing is going to be that you've made a good friend in the Lord through prayer. And you could tell where you're weak in prayer because it takes you so long to get there. You start to pray, you're distracted. But did you notice the more you pray, the stronger your spirit man becomes and you're instant. You're just instant. His presence is instant. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord is going to demonstrate the power of this prayer. That's the last thing Satan wants anybody to do. He does, like I said, he doesn't care if you go to church. He really doesn't. He doesn't care about how many books you read on theological positions. He doesn't care. But I'll tell you, he is terrified when, I don't care if you are 1 hour old and you say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because as soon as you call upon the name of the Lord, he knows it's going to go bad for him. But also in prayer,
the enemy knows that. Is that what you?
The enemy is well aware. Like he doesn't care about, like, and I say this, and this is not to put anybody down, but he doesn't care about recreational prayer. But when you have a life of prayer, when you're really setting your face like flint to the Lord, when you're really digging your heels in and you're looking to the Lord and you're saying, you know what, Lord, your word says, whatsoever things that you believe that you have that you have asked for, you shall receive them, you know, and God wants us to believe, you know, and this whole thing, and I said this before, you know, there's this word that has come up, you know, of the postmodern age, that if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and invite him into your life, accepting, if you look it up in the dictionary, is completely different than the word believe. God is asking us to believe him. He says, if you have faith, believe, if your faith, which is belief, that, you know, if it's so much of a grain of a piece of mustard seed or sand, you can remove a mountain.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, you know, there's a place that God has for us. And I believe Isaiah has a good word about it. He said for, you know, he's quoting the Lord where he says, for I will give you treasures in darkness and riches stored in secret places, that you will know that I am the Lord your God who has summoned you by name. And when we pray, the more we pray, the more we desire to pray until it becomes like breathing. You're not thinking about prayer so much like, I got to pray more, I got to pray more. Because the more you do it, the more he gives you power to do it. And that is the one thing I learned about the Lord. And so, you know, he wants to be involved in all the details of our life. But he'll allow things to happen. That's why people don't understand. They get mad and they go, why, God, why are you allowing this to happen? You know, God is our Savior. Think about it. He gave up his life for us that we might live, not just more abundantly here, but later on we have a future inheritance with him kept in heaven for us. But while we're here, he also wants to show that he is our friend and a friend to other people. He manifests himself through our life to other people. God has a great power. You know, I'll tell you, I remember one time, Tony, I wanted to take I wanted to be a chaplain's assistant. So I did a 30-hour class. And it was at a Catholic church. I didn't care. I just thought, well, whatever good I can be. I didn't have an agenda. I was just like, I don't know, Lord, maybe I can just cheer somebody up, you know? And everybody knew I was the only Christian, and there was like 40 people in the class. And each week there was a chaplain that would come in for whatever floor it was on. And one week, there was a chaplain from the oncology ward. And so the chaplain was talking about death and dying and everything. And a girl that was sitting there, she started sobbing. So the chaplain said, oh my gosh, what is wrong? And she said, well, I have cancer. I have cancer. And I have to have surgery. And she started sobbing. And so the chaplain said, well, this is probably a good time that everybody goes out of the room. And I started to feel the presence of the Lord. And I knew it. And I went, oh no, I'm not going out there. I'm going to stay here. And then somebody came in and said, Joan, you should probably go out there. And I thought, well, and I knew the Lord wanted me to because I could feel his power. My heart was racing. And so I walked out and I saw all the people gathered around that woman. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go by them and get a drink of water because the water fountain was beyond them. And as I was coming, she pointed to me and she said, it's her. And I thought, oh my gosh, like I didn't know what was happening. And she said, It's her. I don't know what it is about her, but every time I look at her, there's something about her eyes. And so I go, oh, well, excuse me. And everybody got away from me like I was a leper, like they ran. And right then I felt the Lord just stopping me where I was. And I would never do this. Like, I just wanted to like fill out. I just wanted to do my 30 hours and get out of there.
Yeah.
But I felt the Lord direct me perfectly. And I said, is it okay if I pray for you? And she nodded yes. So I took her over and I took her by the hand. And I just felt the perfect leading of the Holy Spirit. And I said to her, are you ready to stop believing the Lord for peanuts? And are you ready to start believing him for greater things? And she nodded. And Tony, I just went with the Holy Spirit. I just said a few words. I praised the Lord God, the ruler of heaven and earth, the maker of all things. And then I turned and I rebuked that spirit of cancer. And I commanded it to leave her body. And that was all I did. And then she wiped her eyes. And then she got out of there really fast. At that point, class was over. The next morning, the phone rang. And I answered it. And it was that girl. Like, I don't even know how she got my number.
Wow.
And she said, I just have to tell you, I woke up this morning and the egg-sized tumor in my breast was gone.
Wow.
And she wound up going to have it checked. I said, well, you still need to get it checked. So I found out a week later, she went to her team of oncologists who did a blood workup and everything. And she was 100% whole. Wow. These are the things I'm talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Where it comes down to it, where you are not in the way, where you can say, I don't understand it. I don't know what it means. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to command that thing.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful.
This is the execution of the authority God is looking at for those of us who have been in Christ for a long time.
Yeah.
And there was another time I kept having a vision of a hospital. I kept thinking, why am I having this vision of this hospital? And every time I had a vision of it, I would see myself going down the hall and going deeper and going deeper. And for a year, I kept having the same vision, but every vision, it was a little bit deeper into the hospital. And I was asking the Lord for a year, Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean? He was silent. After a year, I was doing my devotions as normal. And some old friends of mine called me and they said, Joan, are you busy? And I said, no. And right then I felt that same, my heart started to race. And I knew, Tony, in that moment, I knew that I had something to do with that hospital. She said, a friend of ours, you don't know him, his name is Joe. He's got 5 weeks left to live. And he has cancer of his pancreas. And so we're wondering if you can go and pray with him. And I thought, okay, let's go. And so we got there. And Tony, the second I walked into that hospital, my friend's looking at the little piece of paper for directions, I knew right where to go. I was turning left and I was turning right. And right where my last vision was a desk. And I said, okay, this is it. And she was like, how do you know? I'm like, right then his family was coming out. His children were sobbing. They were saying their goodbyes to him. And Tony, this is what happened. She said, her and her husband said, okay, Joan, we're going to go in that room right now. And I said, listen to me. And that's when I felt that power come in. I said, listen to me. I said, we're going to go in there right now. And I'm going to declare something to you both, that he is not going to die, but he is going to live and declare the works of the Lord.
Wow.
And I'm hearing myself say this. And yeah, a part of me was saying, do you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Do you know what you're saying?
Yeah,
you can't say that. So we walked in and there he was, a dying man. And his wife was sitting there crying and his daughter. And right then I felt directed. And I said to his wife, do you believe that the Lord is God, that he is Jesus Christ, that he is the living one? And she said, yes. I said, okay, then you can stay. Then I repeated the same thing to his daughter. And then I walked over to that man and I took his hand and I said, Joe, I want you to know I am a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ and he sent me here to you. He said, you know, I haven't been in church since I was 6 years old. And I said, what do you want, Joe? What do you want the Lord to do for you? He goes, I want to go home. I said, then give me your hand. And I did the same thing like with that other woman. And it wasn't even planned. You know what I mean? Like I just did it. And right when he stuck his hand out and I started to pray, in my mind, I could see as a living vision, like it was a film playing in my mind. I can see his pancreas eaten up. But as I was praying, I could see it growing back to a full pancreas, totally healthy. And as I was praying, the power was so great that, Tony, I couldn't even speak in English anymore. I started to speak in tongues. I mean, it was so powerful. And I don't do that in front of anybody.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I saw that pancreas come to a full, healthy, living pancreas in my mind, in my vision, my waking vision, all of a sudden I felt the power just stop. And I just let go of his hand. And I said, and I felt the Holy Spirit just go away. I just felt his presence go. And then we left. Well, I was being bombarded by the enemy. Look what you've done. You've made a fool out of yourself. And I was like, Lord, I don't even know what's up to you. I just did what you said. Okay. The next day, my friend called me. She said, Joan, you're not going to believe it. Joe was sitting up in bed 3 hours after you left, and he was hungry. The next day, they moved him downstairs. A week after that, he was 100% healed.
Wow.
And then he went to church.
It's amazing.
And he became one of the elders at church.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. Yes, that's absolutely amazing. And that's the sort of thing that we need to see. And I believe we will see more in the days ahead when people exercise their faith like that. I mean, that's so encouraging, and it should be an encouragement to other people, to people that are listening here, that we don't have to be anyone particularly special. We don't have to be the Apostle Paul or Peter or whatever, you know. Just God can use anybody if we exercise that faith.
You know, and I'll tell you, you know, the Lord says we have to become like little children or we will never see the kingdom of heaven. He's not looking. You know, look at Paul the Apostle. Those Jews back then, he was a Pharisee, they prayed 9 times a day, Tony.
Yeah.
Okay? 9 times a day. But the Lord was disgusted with all of that. You know what? He wanted him to pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there's authority. And the older we get, the more we can execute that authority. And you know, I've even seen little children. I've seen little children do amazing things. Say, okay, I read this story where this little girl was watching, and they were poor. They were very, very poor people. And the mother had a dying infant. And the mother could do nothing with the dying infant. The baby was just dying. There was nothing the doctors could do. And you know what that little baby did? The baby was watching her mother do that with her little sibling, knowing that baby was going to die. That baby went downstairs, grabbed a chair, picked up the phone, and called the Lord. She didn't dial or anything. She just picked up the phone and she said, Jesus, my little sister is dying and I need you to heal her. You said I could ask you, and I ask you now in Jesus' name. And the baby lived.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So all of us, it's, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit is not to pump you up. It's to destroy the works of the flesh. It's so that the life of Christ can be revealed in you, so that you die to yourself. You die to everything. You know, the Apostle Paul said, for I die daily. And, you know, the older I get, I can only speak for myself. I've died to a lot of stuff. It doesn't have a hold on me like it used to. But I tell you what has a hold on me is the Lord. You know, it says, for day by day we perish. The outward man perishes. But the inward man is renewed day by day by the word of the Lord. And, you know, the Lord is the word. He has to keep his word. And I say that with respect. We're friends. I know the Lord. I know him. I seriously know him. You know, even the Lord, what does it say? One of the most important scriptures I've ever read that motivated my life, even to this day, it says, let not the rich man glory in his riches, and neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and neither let the wise man glory in his wisdom, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these do I delight in. And so he says he exercises it in the earth. You know what I believe he wants? He is looking for good-hearted, sincere people that he can use. Honest, everyday people.
Well, that's been awesome, Joni. Thank you again, you know, part of our team. You put such an awesome influence in, and we're so glad to have you on board. And that was really powerful. So thank you again for sharing that today, Joni.
Oh, it's always such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, and I just love being a part of Minute to Midnight. I just love it so much. I see God doing amazing things with us. So glad to be a part of it.
So that's it from the A Minute to Midnight team for today. Don't forget our website, www.aminutetomidnight.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any of our upcoming broadcasts.